My name's Linda Janek. I'm the CEO of Talent Guard, and we're here to talk a little bit about how to define the most ultimate employee experience. And I'm here with one of my customers, and I'm going to have him introduce himself, and one of the IBM SHMEE experts.
Yeah, my name is Dan Carey. I'm the Chief Administrative and Risk Officer of a company called Farm Credit Financial Partners Incorporated, or FPI. It's a long name, and it doesn't tell you that we're a technology company, but we are.
And I'm David Shaw, subject matter expert on job skills and competencies with IBM, supporting Linda and the Talent Guard team as one of our trusted partners on multiple accounts like FPI.
Excellent. So we hear a lot about the employee experience, but we often have to think about what does that mean? You know, what does it mean to have a great employee experience internally as an organization? And with respect to someone's career. So, you know, what happens, at least in my view, what I've seen is when an employee wants to develop their career, they often have to go to your corporate website to find job opportunities. They try to find mentors internally. They may have to go on an internal job board. Some companies have career fairs so their employees can learn about different jobs, right? So they have to go to all of these different programs in order to really think, is there a lifetime career here for me? So what I'd like Dan to talk a little bit about is maybe some of the challenges you had internally when your employees were asking for more career opportunities and what that inspired your company to do to make that a possibility.
Sure. No, that's great. We went with to look for a solution, a competency program, talent management solution, because our employees told us to. We have gone through a lot of changes over the past 2 years. We brought in a new CEO, new management team. We reset all of our jobs, changed titles, went to a matrixed organization, changed our compensation program, a bonus program. We literally changed everything. Employees feel confident about what they are, that they identify with. Who do I work for? What am I supposed to do? How do I make money? And we realized that this is a lot of change for a company to go through. So we needed to have more sophisticated, more mature human resource programs. And we had introduced a few, but talent management was missing. That's why we looked out, and we ended up with Talent Guard and the IBM framework as the solution that we adopted.
Specifically the career pathing solution.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You know, and employees actually used that term, and they said, we want a career path. They didn't really know what that meant. We use it technically now.
Yeah.
But they were using it casually. Like, I want to know where I can be. Where? How can I make more money? How? You say I'm a software engineer 2. How do I become a software engineer 3? And incidentally, why am I a 2? I'm sitting next to a 3, and I think I'm even better than they are. So how do I know where I should be? What is fairness? Am I being treated equitably in the organization? Those are the questions that we needed to answer for our employees.
Yep. You know, one of the things that we found as a software company, because primarily that's our business, is when we were dealing with organizations like yours, they would say to us, Linda, gosh, we love your software, but in order for us to use it in the way that we could leverage it in its best form, we have to build out all these job roles and we have to build all these competencies and proficiencies because we want to bring that level of transparency to the job. So Talent Guard being able to partner with IBM on these talent frameworks and taking that data, embedding in our system and giving it to the customer, we've seen have saved companies not only hundreds of hours in time, but thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in not having to create that internally. So David, maybe talk a little bit about what you've also seen with the use of those talent frameworks and how we can use that data to assess and we do those assessments in the tool as well to give us a framework from your perspective.
Okay. Well, what's been most interesting is that organizations typically try and start at a point and they want to say, where do we start? And I'll pick Dan as a good example. Start with a job family. You know, make it easy, make it consumable, make it where it has some environmental impact to that user group so that they can look at that and go, okay, so you're telling me exactly what's required for that job, exactly what skills are required, and exactly what level of proficiency I need. That last part, the proficiency, seems to always be missing in the conversation with employees. That they go, okay, you can list a group of skills, but you're never telling me how good am I at that set of skills. If they can see that, then that gives them a view into where they can sit next to that other software engineer or whatever role is sitting next to them and go, here's my skills. Can I take a look at those skills and the proficiencies and compare it to another job? So you can look at that job family or career path, but the real enablement I think TalentGuard does is you give them what we call career GPS. Big, big differentiator there is that once you start defining this base of jobs, skills becomes the conversation across the groups. You know, both at the managerial level, the employee level, and therefore you have a conversation with that employee about where do you think your career goes? You're not just saying they have to live in that job family where you started, but gives them a way to start with something and then expand it so that as companies like our clients look at here, they go, okay, if you start at a certain point, as we keep defining more and more job families, you can look at more and more career opportunities,
right,
which means the employee stays at your company.
Right.
I think that's right. And also, speaking of the IBM framework, it's not just a number. The proficiency level isn't just it's a three. It's built out with behavioral triggers that lets you know whether or not you are actually behaving as a three.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things you would be doing if you were at this level. And, you know, there's usually 4 to 6, and they're very descriptive. So a manager doesn't have to think about, what do I think a three is? They can look right at the description and say, okay, is this behavior being shown? And give the employee the opportunity to show it,
mm-hmm,
if they're ready to advance.
And what we try to take advantage to give partners like TalentGuard is to make it where we've got other data linked to that same information.
Yep.
So if you're looking at that holistic approach from the employee's view, wait a minute, how can my manager coach me on these skills? We've got coaching tips for every single skill so the manager can get involved and guide that employee through that, which means the employee's going, wow, the company's really investing in me, first, from the managerial perspective. Second, they actually can look at the learning materials we've got in the library. While they're not e-learning courses, they are ancillary materials, like here's a set of activities you can do, books you could read, publications you could read. And most of our clients, I think FBI is looking at this, looking at your content you've got for e-learning and tying it back into that same skill. So it's actually an architecture that allows you to start very simple, expand it, and IBM keeps going with the architecture so you can do more and more things, including the idea for interviewing now for people. It's because we have interview questions linked back to the same skill. And we found it not just interviewing for new candidates, but existing people. They want to look at their career next. So what questions do I need to be prepared for my next interview internal?
Right.
You can give them a couple of ideas.
Yeah, and I think you just hit on it, right? So the employee experience has to be all-encompassing to make sure that I can express the kind of skills that I have. Manager can validate those skills so we can create conversations. Once those skills are assessed, to be able to build out a multi-step career path that shows me where my gaps are. Those gaps can be filled for the employee by recommended learning activities and coaching tips to the manager on how to really help that employee navigate, right, that full experience. And, you know, with TalentGuard also taking it to that next level where we say, okay, here are people in the job role that you could talk to as a mentor, and or demonstrating videos so that you can serve up a day in the life of. Like, how often have you seen where, I work with people all the time, and they go, well, I didn't really know what that job was, being a marketing person or being an engineer one. So if you can really bring that job to life with these videos and help them understand, this is what you'd be doing day in and day out, you really bring full circle an experience to the employer where they can really understand, where am I today? Where can I go? Who can help me get there? How is the organization and my manager going to be brought into the conversation to truly enable me to grow? And really, at the end of the day, it's about growing as a person and as a professional in order to be happy.
And also, by using the framework and using a tool like TalentGuard, we're able to have our managers immediately behave in a more sophisticated, more advanced level. So they're asking the right questions about things that are relevant for the job. We don't have to teach them how to interview and what the difference is, what behavior-based interviewing is, and go through all these concepts, and they have to make sense of it. Instead, here are the questions you're going to ask. These are the skills you're going to assess, and let us know how the person did on those assessments. Our managers can act more like managers. They don't have to be experts in HR. They can follow the model and get the information they need to do their job.
Mm-hmm. That's highly effective, yeah.
I heard one thing, we all talked yesterday at another one of the panels, and I picked up one thing from Dan which I thought was very insightful, which is if they're looking for subject matter experts from the pool of candidates you've already got as employees, management now can go find who's the best at that area.
Yes.
Because you've gone through the Talent Guard experience, inventory that knowledge, and now the management can look at it and go, if we're looking for our workforce planning or looking for the next project, who's the best at Agile? Who's the best at Java? Who's the best at whatever those areas are? It doesn't be technical. It could be, as an example, we just finished a call about Sarbanes-Oxley in the finance business.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've got inventory of people who know finance and Sarbanes-Oxley, you know, you may know that as an attorney and dental things, but wait a minute, I found out that there are three people that knew that. I didn't even know they knew it.
Yeah, you can also see the holes in your organization. Where do we lack the specific skill that you're going to need?
Mm-hmm.
So like compliance. Compliance has become really big. Our clients are financial institutions. So compliance, we're a highly regulated industry. We have to comply with many rules, and we're audited continuously. What skills in the audit and compliance world are we lacking? And we can see that now. And we can train specific to that, to the tight target, and really use our dollars better.
I love that you brought it to that point, because we often start, and I often start, with the benefit to the employee. It's about the employee experience. But if you give that benefit to the employee and they're assessing their skills and the managers are having conversations and we're elevating up, now I can know what are the skill gaps per job family, what's the skill gap per department, what is the skill gap across the organization, and then take all of that data to, you know, future proof against you know, your workforce strategy needs. But also to understand, how do we spend our learning dollars better, because we can focus on the key gaps as an organization and not just as an individual. So, you know, I do think that that is an excellent point in that conversation.
No, this is a great talk about what you'll get out of a system like this, whether it's IBM and Talent Guard or some other solution. But one thing that we did, and I'm very glad we did, was we did a lot of training on the concepts behind these programs before we fully implemented it. We had multiple trainings with employees, with managers, with senior management, all the way up to the executive group, who had to understand not just this is what we're going to do and here's your new form, but this is a new world. It's now based on competencies, and you're going to be using that term a lot. You're going to be talking about proficiency, and here's what it means, and this is how you look at behaviors, and make them understand this is what it's about. We only showed them the Talent Guard solution at the very end. The final trainings were the system trainings, and luckily Talent Guard was easy enough where we only needed a little bit of training for people to be able to use it. But they understood what the program was, what they were going to get out of it before we ever launched, and that was essential.
Essential. Yeah. You know, I want to spend just a minute thinking about, you know, oftentimes when organizations think about their job roles, right, they're overwhelmed immediately because they think, oh my gosh, this is just going to be like so much work to do. And, you know, I know you were faced with that question as well. You know, in using a Talent Guard system, we fully load everything in and it's there and it's ready and it's available with the push of a button. But it doesn't just stop there, right? Because I know there's some executive level decisions that have to be made about, do you just go with the IBM library as is in Talent Guard, or do you have to take what you've already done, right? Because we don't want to unseat all the investment that you've made in your job roles. Maybe spend a little time sharing what that experience was like and thinking about, do you go out of the box? Do you rationalize every role? Do we pick and choose?
Yeah, I have to admit, during yesterday's talk, David had said most groups do a hybrid of some kind, and I relaxed a little bit. There was a little tense cord inside of me that just relaxed, because that's what we did. We did a hybrid. We went with the highly technical jobs were most likely to be in line with what we needed, because it's IBM's framework. That just makes sense. Then we had positions that weren't in there or really didn't represent what we did, like legal reports into me, and the attorney role wasn't really in there with the competencies that we needed. These are generalist attorneys. They need to know employment law, contract law. They have to know about farm credit, where it's an institution. It's its own entity. So we needed to put those skills into Talent Guard, and organizations shouldn't be afraid to do that. You can make it as much yours as you want. But when you do, you're erasing some of the benefits. That I know, David, you talked about some of the benefits already.
Well, part of that is with that building a hybrid model, because IBM always tells our clients up front, you're going to get about 80% of what you want in the base package right away. We never have ever said there's 100% fit. Never. Never. And part of that is because every organization has something unique about the way they do the same job. That attorney job may be completely different at five different companies, but it's the same title. The same basic process that they go through, but the skills required are different. Like I said, contract law, personal property, those different elements. So we give the flexibility for a client to work with their partner, in this case Talent Guard, to actually then go through and say, what's important to you? And the actual talent framework gives the framework for how to work with that job. So you can assemble a job from one that exists, copy it, you can add skills, create new ones, whatever the area you need to focus on, but that base idea is still there. We call that the word, I hate to use a technical word, a taxonomy. It's the design, it's the structure of it, and that taxonomy is one of the things that Talent Guard harnesses so that you as a client don't have to know that. You just use the application to work with that, and Talent Guard also goes that extra step. They work with other third-party applications like a Workday, like Oracle PeopleSoft, to work and bolt onto those applications because the Talent Guard solution drives beyond those applications with the way they harness that taxonomy and can work with the existing systems you've got, so they don't have to have a upheaval of what you've got, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of an evolution, not a revolution.
Yep.
It's an old saying, but
yep.
The idea is very true in this case is that, you know, what it is that you're trying to evolve to, and most people have duplicate jobs. You know, they have 3, 5, 10. We were just on a call earlier, and we had an account that has 30,000 employees, had 24,000 job descriptions. I know we're all being recorded. Let me repeat that.
Yep.
They had 30,000 employees and 24,000 job descriptions. And that was because over the years, you know, you have a nurse level one.
Yep.
It ended up with nurse level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And each of those have been written for individual people,
mm-hmm.
not
We've
for the role.
That.
And that makes it very tough for an application like Talent Guard to really look at career pathing if you're dealing with nurse level 3, when in fact it's the exact same thing as nurse level 1, just different proficiencies.
Blue Cross Blue Shield Tennessee mentioned that yesterday when he said they were starting with about, 2,500 job roles, and they're getting it down to 700.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's exactly what was happening in the organization, and they want to normalize that as much as they can.
And that's the idea, is to give the employer, in this case was FBI, the option of how quickly to do that.
Right.
You can do it as a big bang, or you can say, let's do it job family, not job family.
Right.
So, you know, again, evolution, not revolution.
Yep.
So find the place where it makes sense, use Talent Guard to help review that, validate it, and bring it back to your environment. And that way, if you are using something like a Workday, you can feed that information back to Workday and change that environment as well.
One of the challenges initially we had when we were doing the initial training, especially at the higher levels of management, was letting people know there's going to be 30, 35 competencies in a position. And people, it frightened people. They thought, why do you need 30, 35? And they're used to a world where a group would say, our competencies, we have 5 core competencies for the organization. Well, that's values. We have those too. But this is different. And when you had brought up, you said you could start by job family, you could start with business units. There's ways of building it out. But one thing you can't do is shorten the number of competencies and not include important ones. You have to start with a full set of competencies for every position that you're going to be rolling out.
But you do, I think you'll agree, you're trying to get it down to the set that's applicable in your case. So IBM gives you, the library is actually the best practice.
Yeah.
It does not mean it's your practice.
Right.
So if we give you 30 skills, technical skills, for example, for a job, we recommend you get it down to like 10 or 15.
You can.
That's why
they have the
importance. But you can't.
Yeah.
So you can make it.
Blue Cross
short
is keeping the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want everything because it has tools, it has technologies, it has everything, and we just chop it up differently in
mm-hmm.
the way that it gets displayed because they're like, wow, well, we want the employees to be able to prepare in all areas if they want to, so that they can transfer those skills to other job roles internally in the organization.
And you said something earlier about the future proof. And I heard Dan talk about this yesterday and also Blue Cross Blue Shield. Is that, yeah, as you're looking forward in those same jobs, maybe you want to add 2 or 3 other skills to that job so that the employee can see the future about where you might be looking toward and give them a way to start looking at learning or developing specific in those skills. I'm oversimplifying for a technical job, but like machine thinking. We have that as a new skill in our library. Artificial intelligence.
Yep.
We've had agile. We have about 12 agile skills. So if you include Scrum Masters and so forth, so you kind of go, wait a minute, if I've got those skills, maybe I need to attach them to that person's job as a stretch goal. Future-proof. You always have something to go for.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we've talked a lot about, you know, that employee experience, and when organizations make decisions to, you know, purchase technology solutions, they're looking for an endpoint, right? They want to have a benefit, and typically it can either be reduced turnover, it can be higher employee engagement scores, it could be, you know, the number of skills, the net new skills that they're improving. In a case that we also saw, it's actually using those same job descriptions on the hiring side to better hire to the role to reduce money on what they have to actually pay for the range of the role. You know, what things are you seeing, and David, have you seen also in the industry when talent management and content frameworks come together for organizations in all different industries?
Sure. With us, we've now implemented the Talent Guard solution with the IBM framework. It exists. Every employee has gone through an assessment of their proficiencies with their supervisors. It's in place. Our next step is to do the analytics, to look for the gaps. Where can we get the biggest bang for the buck? Not just for competencies in general, but across the organization. And we have core competencies that everyone needs to have. We have leadership competencies, management competencies that bring in people from all across the company together. And we have very specific ones for different roles. Now, instead of holding a few trainings on interviewing skills and management skills and having these generalized training sessions, we can target this, not just the skill. We say we want you to be a better manager. Now we can say, okay, this behavior under interviewing is lacking in a lot of areas. Let's hit this. And we can actually target the specific increase in the behavior that we're looking to have, which is better.
So you're thinking there it's going to be more improved ability for managers to hire the right candidate the first time. It's going to be better learning spend, and to more targeted resources. So those are the three KPIs at this point.
And I see the same thing adding the retention element, because if employees see what's expected of them, and you're trying is the key word, trying to invest in them, then they typically want to do it. Is they've never seen it. We were actually in a panel earlier, and one of the reps we were dealing with used to be a nurse, and she had not felt she was treated appropriately by her manager and didn't have any career path in front of her. So she left the nursing field because she didn't have that, can she see it?
Yeah. See the future,
that's
where you're going to be.
See the future, where you might be, at least an option. Yeah. And so especially if you look at the millennials, as the millennials are coming on board, they want specificity. Key word there, specificity.
We're a technology company, so our group is really mobile. They could leave us if they want to, and we have large companies that are right down the road, Mass Mutual, a few others, that are our competitors for talent. This is the pool we live in. So we need to make sure that people don't think that they can do better outside, that they really are getting paid fairly, and that this is where you could be in your future. And here's what it looks like. And especially technical people, they love to be developing their skills. Mm-hmm. They want to say, I've done this now, I've done that now. So having a career path that actually paints it for them, they say, I can get my career in my current company. I know what it looks like. I know what the next position is going to be. I'm going to try for this. I'm going to branch over here. Maybe I'll do a CRM training. Maybe I'll do this and expand my skill set so I can move into these other positions. None of that includes them going on the internet and looking for a job or reaching out for someone else in another company to give them the career path that they now feel, I can get it here. If you don't give it to them, they will go.
Excellent.
Two best practices. That was a great one. First is you're going down that fine, which is badging or some physical recognition of skill, knowledge, and achievement. Some way you recognize people that they've gone through and done something. Different organizations do it different ways, but just some sort of recognition. It's a big one we've seen. Second one is, as the employee goes through that exercise, even if they looked outside, what's most interesting I've seen, personal eyes and watched, is that if people can look and go, okay, if I got two screens in my computer and I'm looking at my company and what I'm going to look at for that job and skills, and now I'll go to the internet and do a search for Mass Mutual, like you said, go to Mass Mutual. None of the postings show anything about skills. They don't see that information on your competitor sites. So they're going like, wait a minute, if I'm getting it here, how come I'm not seeing it over there, which makes them want to stay with you because you're giving them, again, more specificity.
That's why having a solution that can host a framework, that's just as important as picking the right framework. Mm-hmm. And it has to be visible to the employees. They need to be able to look in and see easily, here's where we stand, and be able to get right to it.
Great.
I think, gentlemen, I want to thank you for your time today. I think we've had some good dialogue and knowledge that we've shared with the audience. And thank you very much for your time. both of you.
Yeah,
and
thanks,
have a great afternoon.
You too.
Thank you very much. Again.